Hello, I'm Simon.
And I'm Dan.
And this is the Wikicast, a podcast where Wikipedia takes us to a random article each week and we talk about what we find. Dan, what are we talking about this week?
This week, Simon, we are very unfortunately talking about the snowshoe cat.
The snowshoe cat, yes!
The snowshoe cat is a rare breed of cat originating in the United States of America in the 1960s. Snowshoes were first produced in Philadelphia when a Siamese breeder's cat gave birth to three kittens with white feet. So these are it's the classic white-socked cat, I assume.
So is it it's not a species of cat, it's a breed of cat?
Yeah.
So it's still alive, basically. The way that you were describing it, I thought it was going to be extinct.
Oh, no. I think it's a very generalized article. It's just talking about the breed. So the breeder was Dorothy Hines Doherty. She began the breeding program to produce what were originally called silver laces, crossing strangely marked Siamese cats with bicolor American short hair cats and other breeds. I mean, all viewers need to know is this thing looks absolutely disgusting because it's a cat. There's no real difference.
I think you're the wrong person to read this article out.
Apparently snowshoes are also very vocal, though their voices are not as loud as the Siamese, a cat found in their breed heritage. They enjoy water and may swim. That's a shame.
I think Siamese are meant to be really screechy. My entire knowledge of Siamese cats comes from the movie The Aristocats. Mm. Do you remember how racist that film was?
I haven't watched it in a long time. I do actually. I think I had a girlfriend,
really?
Once. It was a very exciting time. No, in Australia, I think it would have been in. I would have been in year six or seven. Throughout year six and seven.
So it was a girlfriend, quote unquote. It wasn't.
Yeah,
really a girlfriend.
It was like the first time where you actually start taking a relationship like kind of seriously. It's not just like, oh, we said we'd get married when we were playing outside, and there we go.
That's still how you do
actually,
your relationships.
Seven and eight, I think it might have been. Anyway, she was upset. She has a cat, and she made me watch Aristocats, and it was.
It's a good film. It's got some good music in it, but it is really quite racist at points.
Mm.
Hang on, actually, let me. So Dan, the way this podcast works, if you're a new reader, is that Dan is not allowed to lead the Wikipedia article that he is on, whereas I'm allowed to roam freely. So Aristocat, it's the song "Everybody Wants to Be a Cat," I believe.
I think so. That's the one I recall, anyway.
Let me find the lyrics. So basically, for those of you who haven't seen the film, which you should see, it is a good film. There are like a bunch of cats in a broken down Parisian house, and they're different breeds. And there's a Siamese and a big Russian cat, all that kind of stuff. But basically, there's a Siamese cat with a massive Chinese stereotype.
Right.
With like one of the lyrics is definitely "fortune cookie always wrong," as a rhyme.
Which isn't the
that
best
kind
bit,
of
is
that
it?
that level of racist.
Jesus.
Back when it was kind of acceptable to put that in a kids' film.
Yeah.
And obviously, like that impacts how people view people other than Westerners, pretty much. Well, even within that, like everyone grows up with those stereotypes from like these kind of Disney films of like French being cowardly and.
Well,
all
if
that
we're,
kind of
I mean, if we're on a tangent with these types, as you say, as me doing inverted commas, these types of Disney films, what would you say if you had to pinpoint and decide upon once and for all your favorite classic Disney film?
Oh,
what would it be?
Oh, actually, before I answer that, I just found the lyrics.
Okay, here we go.
This is the Chinese cat. The lyrics are literally "Shanghai, Hong Kong, Egg Foo Young, Fortune Cookie Always Wrong."
Oh my god!
I know.
Who greenlit this?
Somebody in like 1956 or something.
The script writer kind of got to the end of the page and just kind of signed it off and looked back at his work and went, "This is absolute gold.
Yeah.
This is amazing."
It's a good song. Apart from that, it's that's annoying, is that there is some gold in that.
Favorite
classic Disney film? I've got a massive... Hang on, when are we defining classic? Like before computer animation, basically?
Yeah. It was illustrated.
I've got a real soft spot for The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Because it's
an excellent film.
It's the darkest of all the Disney films, and it's got a very good soundtrack.
Really unique music, hasn't it?
Yeah, and Frollo's song, Hellfire, is my favourite Disney song, I think. Mm. It's slightly tempered by the fact that Sally LePage really likes that film. So
oh, really?
I don't know, I don't like it quite so much after learning that.
I mean, what's the opposite of "Every Cloud Has a Silver Lining"? I think it would be that.
"Every Dump Has Some Gold Inside It"? I don't know.
Yeah, there we go. Why not?
But other than Hunchback, I don't know. Like, The Lion King is the one that everyone, when I was a kid, watched. I didn't see it until I was, like, 16.
Yeah.
So I can, and I know that's got great music again, obviously.
I'm trying to think what mine would be.
Oh, Jungle Book, actually. That was one I grew up on.
That's awesome. With the the Beatles-esque vultures.
What do you want to do? What do you want
to do? I don't
know.
What do you want to do?
And the remake was good at that as well. We went to see the remake, didn't we?
The CG. We did, yeah.
And we were very pleasantly surprised.
Oh, it was amazing.
With Christopher Walken extending the I Want to Be Like You song and making it really menacing.
That was dark. It was an amazing film.
Well, Rudyard Kipling's writings, they are really quite dark. Like, they're not kids' stories.
Yeah, I suppose there was a reason why he was made Minister of Propaganda in the war. Yeah. Like, he's got he's got a skill with manipulative writing. I don't think I can describe my favorite film.
I definitely wasn't a Disney kid, I'd like to point out, though. Like, I just didn't grow up... my grandparents...
Manly man Simon Clarke is back.
What did you call him? Manly man Mark?
Yeah.
Who's that?
I don't know. I was thinking
it's
trying
to be you.
Is that
the third person in this podcast?
I tripped over my words because I was so keen to insult you quickly. I mean, you are living up to your stereotype of... What was it the other week when you were passionately telling everyone that, all right, I never cry. One doesn't cry in films. And now I'm like, oh, but I didn't like Disney either.
Well, no, I was in a household where we didn't grow up with Disney films. Like, I watched the Jungle Book and the Aristocats. I'm pretty sure because my granny, when I visited them, they had VHS tapes of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't see, actually, having said that, the first film I ever saw in the cinema was Pocahontas. Because my mum took me just to shut me up, I think, for a day.
Okay. See, I've never seen Pocahontas.
I don't remember it that well, if I'm honest.
No. I think one of the first films I saw was... I think it might have been Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Not on the original release, surely.
Well, no, obviously not. But I think it was one of the first films I saw. I remember we had it on VHS. On video. And I remember the specific point in, you know, when you put the VHS in and then you'd get the kind of advertisements beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
With stuff. And there was a point where you knew you were going into kind of like the golden age of technology because you'd get this voiceover being like, coming now on video and Disney DVD.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, DVD? What is this?
I could probably watch like this from the start of the VHS now and probably still remember what all the adverts were. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I remember when I recorded The Matrix off of TV on VHS because, you know, you could, but I don't know, maybe this isn't something that kids do anymore, but like, you could put a VHS tape in and record stuff live from TV, but it meant you got the adverts in if it was a film. And there was a CD I bought solely because I rewatched The Matrix so many times and it had an advert for it in the adverts on Channel 5. And it was the Greatest Bands Ever, 2003. And I saw it and I was like, well, I've got to buy it. It's been indoctrinated into my brain so many times. I can't hear a word you're saying. I'm still recording here, listeners. We're doing a podcast for the first time remotely because we need to practice for when I leave Dan. So he is Google calling me and recording his audio locally. I'm recording my audio locally. And it's just me looking at Dan while he tries to solve a problem. I would go down and interrupt him, but you won't be able to hear because apparently his microphone's not working. He's shaking his head. He's cutting me off, making the universal gesture for stop talking. At this point, I'd like to invite you to Club Cat, seeing as he can't interrupt me. The cats, of course, being the superior domestic animal. I mean, I haven't got anything against dogs, but I've got a kind of... Oh, he's screaming now. He's screaming at me into the video link. You've got to really love cats more than dogs because, frankly, Dan and I form a classical kind of duo and I've got to have something over him. So if you are a dog owner, nothing personal, but I prefer cats. Is he still working on this? He's putting a finger up. He's left the call. I think he might be coming back in the call. I'm going to keep talking as a form of commentary. How are you? I'm doing very well, thank you. I've had my first day off in several weeks to do YouTube work and to sleep in and to do this podcast, which I'm enjoying so far. Dan's now completely gone. I'm actually now just looking at my own face and the lyrics to the Aristocats. I'd like to remind you at this point in the podcast that we are professionals. We are paid. We're not actually paid to do this, so we're not professionals. I am a professional content creator, not really a professional podcaster, for reasons that are probably becoming clear now, actually, because I'm let down by my company. Great was the company of the preachers, not was the company of me in this podcast. How long can I keep this going? I mean, my goodness. Shall I just read you the... Here we go. Let me just get nice and close to the microphone and make the most of the material at hand. Everybody wants to be a cat because a cat's the only cat who knows where it's at. Tell me everybody's picking up on that feline beat because everything else is obsolete. A square with a horn makes you wish you weren't born. Oh, and he's back!
I'm back. I'm here. don't fret. I think we're all right. As Simon probably alluded to, it's a little bit trial and error. This is a new kind of setup we've got going.
Yeah, we're testing for when I move out, sad face.
Yeah.
But it means that we have separate recording locations, which is...
It's crazy.
Which is very, very high tech and very breaky tech.
In fact, Simon, I wonder if there's a way for you to prove that you're recording it.
Yeah, okay.
Now we can do that.
I can, right. Let me just...
Listen close, listeners. Here we go. Here he comes. Down the stairs.
Hey, mate.
Hello, mate.
All right?
Yeah, not bad, thank you.
What was wrong with it?
I have no idea.
It just stopped.
Started playing about, yeah. But we're all right
we're
now.
We're going now still?
We are still recording.
Okay, right. I'll go back on.
All right.
It's nice to see you.
Nice to see you, mate.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bloody tip.
It's a slick setup we've got going here.
Bloody large forehead prick. Hey, mate. How are you? You're right.
Hiya. Yeah, good, thank you. Your microphone, I can pick up quite a lot of what you were saying, actually.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
I can't remember what I was saying, I'll come to think of it. You're very comfy down there under the stairs, aren't you?
It's nice. I mean, this is the thing. I kind of like this new setup purely because I am living out Harry Potter's life in the first
book. Yeah, before it got good.
yeah, you're...
Oh, hang on. He's gone again. He's gone! This is definitely still staying in the podcast. I just heard the scream from up the stairs, but not coming through the Google chat. Let me just... Where was I? A square with a horn makes you wish you weren't born every time he plays. But with a square in the act, you can set music back to the caveman days. And it isn't written here, but I believe it then goes... I've heard some corny birds who tried to sing, but a cat's the only cat who knows how to swing. Who wants to dig a long-haired gig? Or stuff like that, when everybody wants to be a cat. Can only fill so much airtime, Dan. I mean, you've left me hanging here by your technical lack of wizardry. Well, you know, I'm hoping you're enjoying this individual Simon cast. Tell us what you thought of this episode so far in an email to spongyelectric@gmail.com. Com, not come. Not going to do what Dan did. Oh, boy. I'm basically fulfilling Dan's role by making mistakes and, you know, trying to be both people at the same time. Even did a little bit of an Aussie accent then, which it sounded like in my head. Whew, boy. Dan, please come back. This is difficult to do a one-man radio show. I actually did campus radio for a time. I don't know if we've actually talked about this. This gives me something to talk about and fill the air. I did a science show for 2 years with my friend, Dr. Hannah Wakeford, who currently works at NASA. Oh, and he's back!
I'm back again. Gosh, this is an exciting episode. There's so many things going wrong.
I've been filling time whilst you've been away. It's fine.
Oh, super. Okay.
Are you recording?
Yes. Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, he's back for good.
Good.
Well, but that remains to be seen.
I'm fairly sure. Was I on about Harry Potter?
You were saying Harry Potter. You're like the boy who lived under the stairs.
Yes.
It's basically, you were living Harry Potter's life before it got good.
Yeah, I'm surrounded by fairy lights. I'm in a little nook.
Like little tin soldiers?
No, I'm lacking on the tin soldier front. But
they were definitely in the film. Were they in the book? You're the expert here.
I don't believe they were. No.
That's something we can talk about. The new Harry Potter.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Okay.
Game changer here.
So, readers, this might be the most exciting news that has happened to Exeter in the past century.
I'd like to point out, I was the one that delivered it to Dan. I was the person who conveyed this to you.
Oh, it was insane. So, basically, for those that don't know, J.K. Rowling used to go to Exeter
Wrote
University.
A series of books called Harry Potter.
Yeah. She did her BA in English Literature at the University of Exeter, and it's supposed that there are different points around the UK that were inspiration, if you like, for specific places in the book. For instance, there's a halls of residence on campus called Marden. That was supposedly the planted the seed of the idea for Gryffindor Common Room and the big staircases, these huge staircases.
There's the Washington Singer bathroom that's meant to be Mourning Myrtle's bathroom, I think.
Mm-hmm. There is, the most noteworthy, I guess, is Gandhi Street, which is basically Diagon Alley.
Yeah.
On Diagon Alley, we've got a gay club, which I've only been to once. It's not bad.
No questions asked there. That's fine.
Called Vaults, and it looks exactly like Gringotts Wizarding Bank.
On the outside.
Yeah, and then we've also got Firehouse, which we've mentioned before, which is kind of meant to be the idea for the Leaky Cauldron, although it's
more, it's much more of a three broomsticks.
Yeah, it's got a more three broomsticks.
But in terms of drinking establishments,
we will now be having, in I think about a week.
Yeah, it's not long.
The Cauldron Inn, which is going to be a Harry Potter themed bar, and I am so excited. It's going to be amazing. They've got three or four different floors, I think. They're all themed.
Yeah, it's because it's Harry Potter and Game of Thrones. Is that right? It's not just Harry Potter, I believe.
I only remember reading the Devon Live article, I think it was, which only mentioned Harry Potter. But they've got this. They're doing this really interesting kind of VR.
Yeah, it's the world's first augmented reality pub, I believe.
Yeah.
So the idea being that if you put your have an app on your phone and you hold it up to the portraits, for example, the portraits will move. And then there are clues in the bar that if you get all the clues and solve a bunch of riddles, you get access to a secret room. And of course, we are going to go. After I hand in my PhD, we are absolutely going to... Well, we'd love to try and do a video with them. That'd be the dream.
Well, I mean, you're going to go after you hand in your PhD.
You're going to go straight away.
As soon as it opens. I'm already thinking about what my costume's going to be. Because they have all the kind of waiters and waitresses are in full wizarding get-up, if you like.
The drinks are in like potion flasks and stuff.
I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
If you are... Actually, I don't know how many people in Exeter listen to this. We definitely have some readers that are friends of ours who listen.
Yeah.
Also, your parents, at least. I do apologise, Linda, for my language last time. Cause
yeah, I did say.
You did. I just didn't believe you. Dan's parents came and visited last weekend, and they drove down and listened to three Wikicasts in a row. Quite why anyone would do that to themselves, I don't know. But I felt obliged to apologise in this episode for
hardcore fans, I think.
My foul language, and blame our listeners for the fiction. That's all I can say. So we do have another one lined up today, don't we?
Our lovely readers. We do. It's from our regular reader, Hannah, I believe.
Regular reader / writer.
Yeah. So it should be good. So we've got that to look forward to.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, what we were saying, I don't know how many readers we have in Exeter, but it would be... Maybe we could organise a meetup for readers there. If we have enough readers in Exeter.
Yeah.
Look for the boy who looks like Harry Potter.
Head over to the Wikicast Facebook page, and we'll do like a poll and see who's about and see who fancies it, and we'll find a day where most people are free. Obviously, I think it might be better to not go on the first day because it will be absolutely packed. But we'll find a day where we're all free
we'll do a poll and we'll decide on a day.
I'm sorry? What do you think you're doing?
Do a poll. I'm helping. We're going to do a poll.
Thank you. A poll.
How's that toast going for you, by the way? This is a discovery today.
Oh, no. Okay, so...
Brace yourselves, people. This is world-changing.
It's an alarmingly frequent occurrence in this house where Simon and I, 9 times out of 10, get along like a house on fire. And that's fine.
We're basically the same person, apart from physically.
So we very rarely fall out. In fact, I don't think we've ever really fallen out.
We've never, no.
No. We'll occasionally criticise each other just to, like, you know, because we're dicks, basically. Anyway, I've mentioned already, Simon... Well, we alluded to the way that you treat a block of cheese. And that's not a euphemism. I literally mean a nice, wholesome chunk of cheddar.
Simon, Dan apparently has a problem with me, you know, weighing cheese and taking precise cuts.
No. Don't... No. You're trying to make me look like the idiot here. I have no... You can weigh as much cheese as you like. I'm not going to stop that. What I will... And... I cannot stand is if you want to weigh cheese, and 9 times out of 10 you're either grating it,
no,
or you're using it in a sandwich or something. It's coming in, you know, it's not vital to be in, it's not consumed in the way that you cut it. Basically, is what I'm saying. So, why not make everyone's life easier and just either shave off bits of cheese like people do with a knife right down the edge, so you keep it in a nice uniform block, or hey, if you want to go and grate your cheese, that's completely fine. I don't mind. What you don't fucking do, and it honestly nearly makes me cry, is you take a nice uniform block, a rectangular or square block of cheese, and then, like the fucking madman that you are, is you just cut a little chunk out of it. So now I've got a Tetris-shaped block of cheese, which is no good to anybody.
What do you mean? It's not like it's spoiled.
No, but it's like if I want to make, I don't know, if I'm making a sandwich or something, or if I want to grate it, I can't grate the little nub that you've left because it'll break off.
You cut off the remainder of the nub, like do a Theon, and then you just grate that.
No, because this wouldn't be necessary if you just treated a block of cheese like a normal human being.
What do you think, readers? Are you with me on this one? I did have somebody who, we're going to get onto the toast point, somebody did tweet
at you. Oh, we are definitely in agreement. You're not getting away with that either.
Right, let me introduce this one then, seeing as you introduced that one. I don't know how much of a British meal this is, or if it is like a global thing, but you call them dippy egg soldiers, don't you?
I call them a dippy egg and soldiers.
Dippy
yeah.
egg and soldiers. Well, I just call them egg and soldiers.
Because you're unfeeling and just generally a bit of a dick. Sorry, what are you saying?
Which is you boil a couple of eggs, like two maybe, and you have bread and butter with it, and the idea is that you boil the egg and you dip the bread in. You might have salt or ketchup or whatever. But when I was, for my entire life, the way that my parents have always done it is you butter the bread, you boil the eggs, and that's it. You know, you dip the bread in the egg. Whereas Dan insists that I'm doing this wrong and that you're supposed to do it as toast.
I can guarantee all you need to do to prove that I'm right. Which I mean, this happens quite regularly.
Does this happen regularly?
No, because I haven't finished. If it's something to do with science or doing something logical, then I rarely take cause to question your attitudes and your actions when you're doing something. However, when it's something that I'm going to go as far as to say common sense or normal. Okay, then so to prove my point. Go to Google now.
All right.
Search in Dippy Egg and Soldiers.
Dippy Egg.
And read me the recipe that you find. Now, I'm looking at Simon's face through a webcam, so I'll know if he's lying, and he won't be lying, because he will see that it's telling him to toast the fucking bread.
Hang on, these are all... Right, okay. It says here that I have network connectivity problems.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So you want to grate that first, and then you want to start on your eggs.
I'm looking at the Jamie Oliver one here.
Mm-hmm.
And...
It's all right, it should be near the bottom.
Actually, hang on. I'm literally not seeing reference to any bread in this. Oh, it says optional crusty bread. And he isn't mentioning anything about toasting it.
All right, let's find...
The first result on Google.
Is Jamie Oliver is the first result?
Yeah,
is it just Dippy Eggs, or is that the one where he talks about, like... asparagus and stuff in it.
Oh yeah, Kerri-Ann's Dippy Eggs and Asparagus Soldiers.
So you're already trying to...
I googled
asparagus
Dippy
soldiers.
Eggs and Soldiers and I clicked the first result.
Ladies and,
as you
Your
told
Honor,
me to do.
Your Honour, asparagus soldiers are not the same. Of course you wouldn't toast fucking asparagus. Now go and find a proper recipe. Don't try and worm
your
way out of
this. I did what you told me to do. I googled it and I clicked the first result.
Oh, now you're splitting hairs. You're being pedantic.
All right, find Delicious Magazine recipe. Says toast soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
There's Marmite soldiers.
Mm-hmm. See, why don't you do that?
I've not tried that, but they don't toast it.
Go as far to say I'd be less averse to you having Marmite on toast with your soldiers than just having bread, because that is just
it doesn't
mental.
Make that much of a difference.
It's ludicrous. It's disgusting.
It's disgusting.
It's
all the things in this world that you could pick as your battleground to die on.
Dippy Eggs and Soldiers. You've got the combination of nice, warm, gooey egg with crunchy, warm, buttery toast. That in your mouth. What you're doing is you're ruining it. You're ruining it completely by having nice, warm, dippy egg.
Yeah.
With cold, already soft and now very soggy bread.
Yeah, but it's like when you put use bread to mop up gravy, for example.
Yeah, that's completely fine. Because that's not Dippy Eggs and Soldiers.
Yeah, but it's the same consistency. It's just soggy bread, according to you.
No.
Also, it doesn't get cold.
I think the problem is that Simon was actually a duck in his previous life, and he just can't get away from the appeal of soggy bread.
I did used to feed ducks a lot when I was a kid. I specifically remember feeding a lot of ducks.
Did you feed them toast?
No, it was always cut up nog ends of bread.
Well... We
always used to go to Bath Uni, and I'm not quite sure why we went to Bath Uni. This was the place where I first learned to ride a bike without stabilisers, in that mum and dad took the stabilisers off my bike, pushed me down a gentle incline, and then I, with unerring aim, hit a bin about 30 metres away, went arse over tit into the bin, and then
oh my God.
Was just there with my legs dangling out the top whilst my parents laughed at me. Before they help get me out. Yeah, like my parents are great. Everybody who meets them, including you and including Pixel Girl, absolutely fucking loves my parents.
Yeah.
But I get the impression that when I was a kid, I wasn't the highest priority for a lot of the time. Like that time when Mum literally abandoned me on my own doorstep.
It was probably because they were taking care of your other siblings.
Oh yeah, we don't talk about them.
Yeah, we can't.
They didn't survive.
No.
Me.
You ate them in utero.
No, no, it wasn't in utero, mate.
It's their 13th birthday. Oh my god, that's
so, so much bigger than you. I just absorbed another child.
Oh my god, that's how it works. Yeah. That is how it works.
It's literally how it works. I've got two people's worth of person in me. That was a very Mr. Burns sounding.
That's getting dangerously close to fan fiction.
What, me absorbing another person inside? Mm. Interestingly, I am always the hulking colossus in the fan fiction.
I mean, really, people know us. It can't really be any other way around.
Yeah, I can't imagine you.
I like how more often than not, I'm the one that's which isn't true in I'm going to call it our relationship. I'm often the more kind of logical, measured. You know, you've never walked in on me saying, like, you know, me in a head to toe gimp suit with, you know.
Oh, in the fan fiction, yeah. I'm the one that's a bit weirder. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, did you think I was talking about when I was in the head to toe gimp suit in real life?
Well, I thought you were just saying, like, in our relationship in real life, you're the more logical, like, calm.
No, not at all.
Unemotional. And I was like, no, absolutely not. Yeah, and my collection of gimp suits and arseless chaps really don't sort of do any favours.
Mm. Those poor chaps. They can't sit down. It's a shame.
Oh, imagine, funny. If any of my old friends are listening to me, that's a reference that goes back like 15 years. That's...
What, arseless chaps?
Yeah, it was a scout thing. There was a running joke in my scout group that I was really into bondage.
Was that the same era of scoutage, I'm going to say, when one of the leaders weed on you?
Oh, no, he didn't wee on me. It was in the Nightmare Night Hike. They pretended to wee on a bunch of, like, 12-year-old scouts, but they were just emptying a water bottle over their legs.
Right.
But, yeah, again, it's the psychological trauma that, you know, like, it's character building. It was like that time when somebody fell over on one of our camps and they impaled their leg on a rock, and it, like, you could see the rock sticking out from the other side. And it was character building.
Yeah. I mean, also, I imagine quite painful and traumatic. But again, we're not wanting to live up the stereotypes that you're an unfeeling...
Character building. The guy who did it, the guy who fell over and landed, literally just looked down at it and was like, oh, did you look at that? had this rock sticking through his leg.
Oh, that's interesting.
He's a member of Mensa, actually, as well.
Is he really? Smart
guy. Yeah, he was also the guy who, do you remember the other day at the pub, he had an aluminium plate land on his fingers. And one of his finger bones shattered, and he now has a fragment of it sticking out the end of his ring finger. And his party trick is that he can tap it on pint glasses, and it sounds like a coin tapping against it. It's truly revolting, and it's amazing.
That's gross.
Scouts was really gross. I got to say, Scouts was one of the best times of my life. I had a really good group of friends, and we went through all this stuff together, and like did some really gross things, and got in really bad situations. But you know, you made it out. That literally is character building. Like, it doesn't matter how crap a situation you get yourself into, if you are willing to work hard and being, you know, clever about it, you can get yourself out.
See, I left the UK before I could kind of progress in my career as a scout. I remember I was at I started with, is it Beavers?
Yep, Beavers, Cubs, Scouts, Explorers.
Yeah, see, I was a beaver and a cub, and then I was a Dutch because I moved. And then I lived in the Netherlands for 3.5 years, where I didn't really do it anymore.
It's definitely a European thing as well, because I went to the Kandersteg, which is the international centre in Switzerland, and
there are a load of them in Northern Europe. Is that right?
Yeah, well, it's a global thing. Like when we went there, there was international. It was National Swiss Day, which wasn't planned or anything, but there was like a big event, and they had all the scouts from all the different parts of the campsite came together, and there was like a big celebration. But yeah, you saw the scouts from America and Germany and the UK and France and Switzerland and Italy. I actually have an Italian neckerchief in my room, which I traded.
That's so cool, mate.
Yeah, no, it really is. Thank you for your condescension, prick.
Oh, it's so funny. Your face then, and then I actually have a neckerchief in my cupboard.
I thought you were being serious as well for a second. I'm like, oh, wow, no, you know, it's great. International trade, it's what Britain's going to be so great at in the future. Like, good on you. And then,
I'm just a smug prick.
Yeah.
You should know this by now. We've been in this house. Well, actually, that's just on a quick tangent. On my calendar the other day, I got the notification that about 2 weeks ago, we'd been in this house for a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Good grief.
If I remember rightly, you moved in at the end of July.
Yeah.
I moved in on about the 20th, and you came in towards the end. I was in the house alone for about 2 weeks. And then
I was dropping stuff off piecemeal because I had my old house, and I think it was basically we needed to get my bed over here, much as that was a complete waste of time because it fell apart on me. And my parents had to come down, or my dad came down with. Did you see the van? I can't remember.
I did. There's the tiny little white one.
The tiny little. So my dad has the Suzuki Super Carry, which, if you imagine, it's about the size of the wheelbase is probably about the same size as like a Ford Fiesta. So it's like a reasonably small car, but it's like if you took a regular house brick and put it on its side. That's the aerodynamic qualities of it.
It's hilarious. It's
literally just like a cuboid, a perfect cuboid, and there's no bonnet or anything. When you're driving it, you're in the cockpit. It feels like a Spitfire cockpit because it's held together with like string and hope. There's like no crumple zone at all. There is just like a half an inch of aluminium, and then there's the rest of the world.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, and it has like slide doors. So we came and put the bed in, and then came and dropped it off here. But there was always the big question mark about whether it would survive the trip back. Because it's literally the most unreliable bit of kit. I love it to bits. It's in the same way that like the Millennium Falcon has so much more character than like the Enterprise, because the Millennium Falcon goes wrong all the time, the Enterprise is just smooth sailing all the time. Whereas like with the Suzuki, it's just like, oh bless it. It's just like, are we going to make it to our destination? Who knows? Yeah. We're going to have to find out.
It's a very cute little thing. Whereas Mum and Dad, when they tried to bring some stuff down to me this time, they managed to squeeze a heck of a lot into a base. What is, to all intents and purposes, oh my god, did you hear that voice break? That was hot.
Yeah, wow, that was Johnny Pepe out there.
All intents and purposes, a 2-seater car, but they did a good job. I was actually just thinking, one of the other reasons why I got this notification for being in this house for a year is I was going through my photos on my laptop. And, you know, it's all organized by date and stuff. And one of the first photos we ever took in this house was, remember when we had that awkwardly formal sit-down meal of just really simple pasta? We were sitting at this very table.
Yeah, that table.
And I was like, you know, like we had the nice cutlery, not the red-ended ones, the silver ones.
The nice ones, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we had, like, I don't know, I think we were both drinking, like, Coke out of glasses. Whereas now, if we can't be bothered, we just get trays, sit on the sofa and... You know.
What do you mean if we can't? That's every meal we have at home is just sat on the sofa.
I just had
a voice crack then.
Oh my god. We're the same person.
What's your favourite memory from the past year in this house? That's a big question, I know.
I think it would have to be Christmas and New Year.
Yeah, Christmas and New Year, I think.
That was amazing. Because we had the Yogscast Christmas live streams.
Which are amazing.
Which were amazing. We also had that New Year's, as we've talked about before, which was just so much fun.
Getting really hammered in black tie.
But to be honest, I mean, it's hard to name a specific memory because you at least
I can think of one. I've just remembered one.
Okay.
Do you remember when Corin tried to make burritos?
Oh my god. Oh, fajitas.
So Corin, you've met in the vlog if you watch my vlogs. He is the politest, most Hugh Grant type character in the world.
He's lovely.
I love him to absolute bits. I want to hug him and never stop. But it was during grad week. Last year, wasn't it? And basically we hosted him, and he was staying on our sofa, and he was like, I'll cook for you guys one night. And we were like,
very kind of him.
You know, thank you, Corin. That's great. And because I'm veggie, and Dan is not, and he isn't either, Corin, that is, he made some, wanted to make chicken fajitas and some veggie fajitas with corn. And normally, this would take 15 minutes, would you say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to brown the chicken, you've got to put the mix in, you've got to cut the peppers. That's basically
it. I'd say maybe 20-25 minutes. I think you're thinking of corn, which is slightly faster.
Oh yeah, true.
But about 25 minutes. The reason it's so appealing as a dinner is because you can make it so quickly and it's minimal effort.
Yeah.
That being said, Simon, please continue.
Corin went in the kitchen and, you know, we were like, oh, do you want a hand, mate? He was like, no, it's fine. You go and sit down. It's absolutely fine. I've got it. Thank you. And we're like, oh, okay, great. And then about probably half an hour passed. And we were like, oh, is that nearly done, Corin? And he was like, all right, I'm just getting everything ready. I was like, yeah, okay, thanks, Corin, mate. Another 15, 20 minutes passed. And we were like, getting pretty hungry. Well, what are you doing there, Corin? And then we went in and I think he'd meticulously cut all of the peppers by this point. And I think he'd read the instructions on the corn.
Seven times.
And he was sort of, everything was laid out. And we're like, are you sure you're okay? I was like, yeah, absolutely fine. Don't worry, mate. Okay. I went back and we were out in the garden. And then I think it was at about this point that out of just nowhere, like there was some sizzling noises maybe. He's kind of got into it and he just said, oh, fuck!
There was a big crash, and then you're like, oh, gee, and you know, like, and then us being like, oh god, what if he's cut himself, and sticking our head back into the house, and then Corin sticks his head around the corner going, no, it's, don't worry, it's absolutely fine. It's, you know, like, oh, bless him. And to be fair, the fajitas were very lovely.
2 hours later, they were very nice.
Yeah, we'd all worked up an appetite, so we appreciated them.
We really did, bless you, Corin. That was definitely one of my favourite memories from this house.
I mean, there's a bit of a trend with us having friends who have interesting tactics when it comes to cooking, and I know for a fact that the person I'm talking about is listening.
Is this related to wine in a dish?
Yes, funnily enough it is. So those of you again, our friend Ed,
who is the man in my vlogs who swears at the camera every episode.
Swears at the camera and basically a dandy and a fop. You know, a fop. He's absolutely lovely. However, he graciously offered to cook myself and a friend Amy dinner, which was very, very nice. And it was going to be a risotto. And in fact, I cooked a risotto last night, which you can attest to.
It smelled amazing.
Yeah, I was quite pleased with it. Anyway, Ed said he'd do one, and it was going to be like chicken and chorizo, and it was going to be very, very nice. Anyway, the first liquid that you add to a risotto typically is wine.
Oh, that's where I'm going wrong.
About 150.
That's not the first liquid I normally add.
Oh god! Again, just the high class. Oh god. Anyway, right. Moving swiftly on from that. Typically, 150 milliliters. If you're doing one that will serve four, this is the kind of measurements that I go off. I actually did a little bit more because it was quite a nice white. Anyway, Ed said, "Oh no, I've added more before. It's fine as long as we just burn it off." And I was like, "All right, mate. You know." And he's made a good risotto in the past, so I'm like, "Okay, that's fine. I'll just like chop anything that needs chopping, and then go and sit down and enjoy my wine." Time passes, and I'm just out of the corner of my eye watching the bottle that's sitting on the sideboard, a full bottle of wine. And at first, about a large glass goes in, and I'm like, "Yeah, he's off to a good start. He knows what he's doing." Then the glass disappears, and just at sporadic intervals, Ed just chucks a load of it into the risotto, and then a bit more, and then basically by the end of this, a whole bottle of wine had gone into this risotto. But at stages where the alcohol wouldn't burn off, it would just basically imagine like you were making a concentrated like jus, J-U-S,
as we all frequently do, you know.
Yeah. And it was just this, the most potent kind of, we'd already had, Amy and I had a glass of red before we'd started. And working your way through this colossal bowl of risotto, I thought this might be the end. I could think this is going south, mainly because you'd eat through and you'd be like, oh, that was quite nice. And then you just get an unlucky mouthful of just, it tasted like vodka.
Phrase. Sometimes you just get an unlucky mouthful.
You do. It's a common issue. But yeah, like we got to the end of this thing, and it was like a spoonful of kind of vodka and rice with chicken, if you're lucky, to mask the just intense level of alcohol. And we finished, and we sat back, and I was like, God, you know, I'm still hungry. And I want some more, but I don't want to die. Like, it was so, you know, like just in such a short amount of time. It was crazy.
You know that, you know, the cooking hasn't gone terribly well when you are literally weighing up, do I want to eat more or do I want to live?
Yeah.
That's like a kind of an option. Like me at New Year's when I was told to finish that curry off.
Oh my God, yeah. Oh, now that's a story.
That was basically, we've already briefly told the story, I think. We went around to New Year's, our friend Lily, who maybe we should get on a podcast episode. That could be quite funny. Her dad it was the dean of the university, at the cathedral, sorry, at the time, and had a really nice house. And they did this big event where they brought loads of people over. How many people would you guess? Like 20, 25?
Oh, I'd say more.
Really?
I think they'd be pushing 30.
Like a large family gathering. And we were invited as Lily's friends, myself, Dan, and Pixel Girl. And we had a lovely, lovely time. And it's a several-day festival of food and drink, if you like. And we went out in the middle of it, and we had like a whole day of sponging in front of the TV, watching YouTube.
And I thought you were going to say a whole day of sponging each other. And I was like, we're not allowed to talk about that. That's not allowed. That was in our own time.
And it was New Year's Day, wasn't it? The evening of New Year's Day, when they have curry. And I'm going to burp.
Oh, God. Oh. Jesus Christ. This is why doing a video call while we record this is gross because I am 99% sure you have just been sick.
No, I'm fine.
Okay, sorry. Enjoy that, readers.
On New Year's Day, well, that's actually related to the story, I suppose. On New Year's Day, they always get curry, and they get the spices sent down from where they used to live in York, I believe. Mm-hmm. And they make these huge pots of it. And there were a couple of veggies there. I'd say it was probably about 10% vegetarian, 90% meat eater.
Yeah, I'd say
about that kind of proportion. But they'd made, of say, 6 curries, I think 2 of them were veggie. And so there was a lot of it to go around. And Lily's mum made the mistake of saying to me, "Oh, Simon, you know, just finish that off. Could you know, the more it's only going to go to waste, so could you just try and finish it off?" And anyone who knows me personally will know that I take these challenges very seriously. And I have quite a capacious stomach. And I must have eaten, I'd say, 4, maybe 5 full plates of this chickpea curry and rice. And like, each individual plate was probably far too large for one person anyway. And by the
there's no probably about it. It was most definitely.
It was, like, if you imagine, like, if you probably tucked it all up, it would probably fill a bucket of curry that I ate.
Yeah.
If you were to put it all in one place. And I was just lying on the floor, and I felt like this was it. This is the end for me. I feel so full, like my eyes being pushed out of my head by rice.
You remember those toys? It was almost like a Mr. Potato Head thing. You'd put Play-Doh in the back, and then you'd pull his arms, and they'd squirt out of like the hole. That was basically what Simon had done to himself.
Well, I was told to finish it, so I did my damnedest to try and finish the curry.
You just nearly killed yourself.
And
in
I was
the
lying on my back at one point with Pixel Girl, like stroking my stomach, just going, "There, it's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right."
It was very, very good food. I just think
it was great.
Not only did I want to enjoy the food, I wanted to enjoy the company and whatever else happened after the food. Whereas you just tunnel visioned your way into, like, if this is how I go, this is how I go.
It's like that exploding the picture from curry. Of the possum that broke its way into a bakery, and they found it, and it's like a, like, imagine a watermelon with a possum ahead and appendages. It was just like, do what you want with me, I've already won. That was basically me that evening, as we sat watching Gavin and Stacey for 2 hours, and I gradually deflated as my body digested it. It was like when you say, it's like when you see like a big snake on the savannah, it's like eating a wildebeest or something crazy, and it's like a big lump, and it just sort of gradually gets smaller and smaller as my stomach, my food baby, went down.
It was what I thought of was, you know, in Scooby-Doo, when he eats like a whole sandwich at once and you see the exact shape of the sandwich go down
his neck.
That was you.
I do sometimes feel like that. I genuinely sometimes eat so much in one go that I like need to drink because I feel like it's getting stuck as it goes down. This used to happen with Firehouse Pizza a lot. That was the other great gluttonous
feast. I'm fairly sure this just happened the other day, and I'd already eaten. There was no one else in the house. It was just you. And the rate at which you were consuming, I just kind of learned, there was a pause as I just heard kind of like, you know, cutlery scratching plate as you were just devouring this thing. And I just kind of leant over and went, it's all right, mate. No one's going to take it off you. That's yours. You can have all of that.
I was eating at a normal rate.
You were not eating it at a normal speed. You were shoveling it down.
I think this might relate back to Scouts when, like, I think people would just try and steal food from me. Maybe it's just like a reflex. Even though I'm an only child, it's just like, get it in as soon as possible. Get it in. Go.
Yeah.
Like, for somebody who's trying to lose weight and has lost weight, I love food so much. It's a real, real toss-up. It's just as well I like running.
Yeah, this is true. be a deadly mix. I don't like running, and I love food, but I'm trying to lose weight.
But you have the metabolism of, like, a Eurasian shrew. Like,
Thank you.
Your body weight in, you know,
see, the thing I love about when you describe me is that you use a description that everyone can really understand and connect with quickly. Like, Eurasian shrew. I have a very, very fast metabolism. Which is, I guess, like, at school, I was always... I dabbled in cross-country, but I loathed it. But my favourite events were like the sprints and just kind of those short, sharp bursts of energy, which I always have. Like, you know, like, just today, if you ever ask me, I don't think there's ever been a time where I've walked up the stairs in this house. I always take them 2 at a time and just like leg it. For no other reason than I
normally go up on all fours. I don't know if you noticed. I'm just
I do sometimes.
I'm like a proper quadruped or something. Just like, I'll go from full walking, like, I'm just going to pop upstairs. And then fully upright on the other end, upstairs.
It was like that the other evening. I came home from... I'd gone out to dinner with Mum and Dad in their coat. And it was a lovely, lovely meal. And we may have been a little bit overboard on the amount of booze that we needed. But it was, you know, it was fine. Anyway, it was safe to say that by the time I arrived home, I was feeling merry.
I was feeling Pippin at the time.
Luckily. I did my usual as I come into the house, my and then you replied. And I remember just kind of like, you were working upstairs. I turned all the lights off, locked the front doors, and just gradually crawled up the stairs and crawled into your room on all fours, being like, what have I done? Please, God, help me. And then put you through more torture of playing you that song that I wrote.
Oh, I played a song that you wrote about a girl, and I was just like, oh.
Because if people haven't already figured...
You're not in Moulin Rouge, Dan. You're not Ewan McGregor.
Stereotype. But I mean, luckily for you, the tweet did really, really well. So you're welcome.
I'm on fire on Twitter at the moment. I must say, I've got like several tweets that are getting like 80.
You're on
plus
fire
likes.
When you're talking about me. I feel like it's not fair to claim.
Hey, I'm doing fine on my own, thank you.
Yeah, sure. Like that tweet did especially well though.
That tweet did. Although also lives noticing that my new beard. Because in case you, if I scratch it, I don't know if it's going to come up. I've got a beard now. I've got a thesis beard. And Liv pointed out that I look like the matchmaker from Mulan. Mm. When she goes like, dignity! With the ink around her face. I was just looking up the Eurasian shrew, by the way.
Right.
Shrews need to consume 2,000 to 3,000% of their body weight each day in order to survive. That's kind of you, because there's very little of you.
There's very little of
you. Also, shrews have poor eyesight. This is also you, but use their excellent sense of smell and good hearing to locate food.
One thing that you don't know about shrews as well, they're really excellent in the sack, which is another trait that I take from them.
Actually, it does say that breeding is the only time that shrews do not prefer to be solitary.
Yeah,
and you are always after that breeding, so you know this does explain a lot.
I love being alone, except when I'm wanting to have sex, and then I find that necessity dictates that I need someone else. Or, you know, or a group of people.
I'm
open to
ideas. It says here they're open to experimentation. No, it doesn't say that. Your mum listens to this, Dan.
Why am I talking about this?
I know. Linda, I'm so sorry. I tried to stop him.
Sorry, mum.
Goodness me. I think we need to take a diversion into Correspondence Corner in order to stop you from embarrassing yourself.
That might be wise.
What's our first message then, Dan?
Our first message is from Benedict Hale.
Hale!
Yes, exactly.
That one.
And the subject message is Transylvania, which is a reference to, I think, one of our first podcast where we suddenly thought we'd woken up in Transylvania.
Oh, something about a dragon. You know what that's just reminded me of? Mm. That absolutely awful Rocky Horror remake.
So I made the mistake of showing Simon. Fox in America have completely butchered the Rocky Horror monster show.
The Rocky Horror Monster Show.
No, there's a story there. I did a show in my primary school that was a mashup of all these different things, and it was loosely based on the arcing story of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. However, there were like Frankenstein was worked in, Elvis came back from the dead. It was tenuous. It's one of those classic primary school plays that don't really. It's like there's a musical version of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Mm.
It's crap. It's just ridiculous. But again, it's one of those shows where you need every single child on stage needs to sing something and say a line at some point.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, like it's a bit of a sensory overload. Anyway,
back to Benedict Hale. Hale!
Greetings, Simon and Dan. I know I'm late, but I feel like obscure references dating back to different long gone episodes of yours is exactly what your show is about.
You nailed it.
A few weeks ago, you wandered. Now, I wonder if he's making fun of the way you say wander. Because he's got, it's WHO.
Wander.
Mm.
Would you like some cool whip?
You wondered about the location of Transylvania. It is in Romania, and I know because I am there.
Hey!
He's attached a picture of the Bank of Transylvania. It's actually really beautiful. You should come.
I try my best.
That's quite forward. Good Lord. If you're wondering how to get there, well, I came here as a stop on my Interrail trip, which now he's put in brackets.
I think that's believed to me. Reference numéro deux.
Yeah, sure. You thought it was doing as well. Also, you should really get onto that before 2019, or you might need a visa for entering the EU. Brackets, I'm sorry. Thanks for reminding us of that, Benedict.
We voted Remain because we're not fucking morons, all right?
Exactly. In great appreciation of the podcast and Dan's forehead. Benedict. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Benedict.
That's very kind. We have another one here, and I'm so sorry because I'm going to butcher this pronunciation. I'm going to go with Suhail Mal? Anyway, you'll know what I mean.
Suhail!
Oh, God. That's peaky. That's really quite loud. I know it's loud when I hear you through the floor than I hear you through the microphone. Dear Messrs. Clark and Moore. Thank now, I think you. He's being edgy by deliberately spelling Clark and Moore wrong. Now, Clark has an E and Moore is spelled M-O-O-R-E.
To be fair, how would he know if he only listened to the show?
How does everyone else get it right?
Well, because on iTunes it says Mess produced by Clark and Moore.
Exactly.
But maybe he didn't know that. Didn't know that. We mustn't assume gender.
Maybe they. This is true.
Right. I interrupt. Right. Continue.
The first thing I'd like to do is thank you for your very entertaining podcast that you released.
When have we ever released one of those?
Today. This might be it. I don't know. This might be a new one. I've only allowed myself to listen to them when I'm jogging at the gym, and miraculously, my attendance there has sharply increased. Oh, good.
Well, that.
Correlation definitely means causation in this instance. Mm-hmm. Continuing the topic from last week's topic of recommended series to watch, I can't recommend The Night Manager enough. Now, I watched that, and it was superb.
I do really want to watch it, actually.
If anyone hasn't seen it, watch it, because it's really, really good. For Mr. Clark,
hello.
I'm hoping to start a degree course in physics this October.
Why would
university
you do that?
Depending on the results I receive this week. Is there anything you would recommend I do to prepare, or any books that would be helpful for the transition between college or university? Finally, I was hoping that you could reply in this email, because rather than publicly on the podcast, my firm choice is Imperial College. So I basically think what he's going to do is we can vaguely discuss it, but then we might actually send a response back in more detail.
I will email you, Suhail. Mm-hmm. Basically, if anyone is going off to do physics at university, firstly, congratulations on your great taste. Practice your maths. The maths is the most important thing, particularly calculus. There's an awful lot of calculus, both integrals, differentiation. And if you want to get ahead, look at multivariate differentiation and vector calculus. Also vectors, complex numbers, basically. The physics side of things, basically at the start of your course, they will kind of go over everything in A-levels to make sure that everyone who did different syllabuses are up to speed. So the physics won't be a problem. And it wasn't for me, it was more the maths. So get practicing.
Right. Good advice there.
Anyway, thank you for your email, Suhail.
Thank you. So we've now got another one. And I should say at this point, we're incredibly fortunate to have so many international readers.
You're about to butcher another name, aren't you?
This is hard.
We haven't fulfilled our quota of accents this week. So could you possibly do this one in the accent you think is appropriate?
No, I can't, because I feel like I might actually do too much damage in offending. I'm only going to read the first name. Which I believe is Vincenz, which I guess is kind of like a Swiss version of
a Swiss
Vincent.
Version.
A Swiss version of Vincent.
If I was to take a stab at this, it would be Vincenz Theodor Schaller.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I hope you wanted your full name read out on the emails, because there we go. Hi, Simon and Dan. I really enjoy your new podcast, and thank you very much for doing that much work. I hope you enjoy it too. Yeah, it's all right. I wanted to allow myself to make a feedback comment, so here we go. If possible, and not too much work, please include all the things you talk about via a link to the Wikipedia page or similar in the show notes, as maybe displaying on Overcast or a similar player. Despite the definition of the podcast as an audio-only media, as some may call it, I, and I think many other listeners too, would like to see and read and learn more about the things that you're talking about. That's
well, if you'd like to do that, Dan, you go ahead. Because I edit the podcast, and Dan does the uploading and posting to social media. So if you are willing to do the links, considering, you know...
And that'll be a really easy thing to do, because we definitely don't go off on tangents all the time. So yeah, I'll be more than happy to do that. Just bear in mind that you'll be reading through about 10 pages of Wikipedia articles.
Oh, he's also said that our Facebook page has the email address with the "and" still in it. We need to fix that.
Yeah, see, I actually told Simon to fix that the other day, and he just, I mean, that's fine.
He did
I'll
no
just
such thing.
That.
He did I'll, no I'll that such right thing. Lies, that's deception, fine. Save the rebellion,
Lies,
save
deception.
The dream. We also have an email from Keegan Amreen, which I definitely nearly read as "Am I right?" Keegan, am I right? Dear gentlemen, I like it. Long time listener, first time writer.
Now that, I believe, that might be a reference to Kermode and Mayo.
Oh, really? Ah, that'd
yeah,
be cool.
Long time listener, first time writer.
Well, not actually, as we're only 6 weeks in, but, you know, whatever. He just wanted to say. Thank you very much. In the midst of your most recent podcast, which, to be clear, I listened to sitting down, not multitasking. That's kind of interesting that he's one of the people that has this as an event. I do so enjoy the show, which comes as a lovely compliment to Simon's videos, in that they're actually good. It's a nice contrast. I appreciate the Exeter Cathedral digression. In truth, the reason I initially started watching Simon's videos was the Exeter connection. I spent a semester abroad at Exeter and quite missed the city. which I can't blame you. It's a lovely city. Rest assured, I came for the Exeter and stayed for the everything else. I'm particularly appreciative of the music chat as a music person myself who has been without a performing group for almost 2 years.
Oh, that's a shame.
Oh, sad face. But most importantly, I wanted to cast my vote for the cat side of the argument. Thank you, Keegan. There are dozens of us who are fighting the good fight here. But he's also asked a question. I do have a question for the both of you. If England were sinking into the sea and you somehow are gifted with the power, magical or mechanical as you wish, to save one street and the buildings opening onto it, say a mile at the longest, which street would you save? That's a good question.
That is a good question.
If I was being practical, I'd say, well, what's the most population dense street in the UK? Somewhere where there's loads and loads of tower blocks, probably.
It'll be somewhere in London, won't it?
Yeah. If I was being practical.
I was going to say somewhere where there's loads of tower blocks. Grenfell Tower? But that might be the wrong street.
I mean, in terms of like streets that I guess I have a connection to, there are definitely quite a few in Oxford that I would like to save. Newman Hall Street.
I would save Diagon Alley.
Or Gandhi Street.
That would be my choice.
Actual Diagon Alley.
No. What do you mean the actual one? Of course I mean the actual one. It's real.
sorry. Yeah, didn't mean to burst that bubble.
That's fine.
Anyway, thanks for your lovely content. Keep up the stellar, wacky work. I like that. I hope this finds you in good health and high spirits. Your internet friend, Keegan J. P.S. I feel like I've left Dan out of this body of this message. It's quite unintentional, so consider this, Dan, a statement of appreciation, particularly for you.
Oh, thank you, Keegan.
Sorry, I'll edit that one out when I edit this episode.
No, you won't.
Oh, wow, have you seen the font size of this next email? Jesus Christ.
Okay, right, I'll do this one. Because it's another international name, and I'm so good at those. So this is from Olinka. Dear Simon and Dan, while I am writing...
Sorry, the font size implies this is, Dear Simon and Dan, while I am writing to you from the scholarly greenlands of Cambridge, okay, I live in Mexico City. Sorry, oh I can't God. Hear you, Dan. Did you say something?
No, that's fine. Okay.
A hot but colourful place to live. Sake. I am a 16-year-old high school student. I've adored hearing your podcast. Hang on, if I get out the window, should I just yell this? You can probably hear it from Cambridge.
Oh, God.
Let me just get the window. Hang on. I'm just going to... I am a 16-year-old high school student!
No. Why would you... I think that might have been the wrong phrase to shout. That might... yelling, I am a 16-year-old high school student out of your window may have been a bad call.
Also, it definitely sounded like, I'm a 16-year-old high... the kidnapping proceeds.
And have adored hearing your podcast in the last couple of weeks. It's made me burst out laughing in various airports, trains, buses, and even in the nights that are dark and full of terrors. Very, very nice. I find it's best to accompany this sound biscuit with some tea and popcorn. Salty, of course. Caramel are gross and disgrace to their brethren.
Outrageous. Stop reading. Stop. I don't know.
I've got a place in my heart for salty popcorn. However, I have not emailed you to defend the dignity of proper popcorn. Instead, as both of you have gone through high school, to ask for some advice. I'd like to attend MIT in the future to pursue mathematics. Beg your pardon?
I think it's pronounced MIT. I'd like to attend MIT in the future. Sure. I am something of an expert in these things. Sorry. Okay. As you were.
Yeah. I think it provides a motivating environment ideal for profound learning and innovation. Yet, due to its high demand, I wonder if I should start preparing now to apply. Should I start building a portfolio to show my interests in the subject? When does one start looking into colleges? Am I worrying about this stuff too early, and should I instead focus on my high school courses? What other advice would you give to high school students? Would love to hear your thoughts on this, Olinka. Side note, if you could delete one song from the universe, people remember its existence, but there's not the song itself, which would it be?
Garlic Dressing by John Rutter.
Okay, fair. I think I would delete... Actually, while I'm thinking of what I delete, advice for high school students looking at colleges and things.
Okay,
about it too early?
I started thinking about uni when I was in year 11, but seriously thinking about it in year 12.
You started thinking about it in the womb?
In the womb, yes. I was born thinking Oxford. But yeah, I started seriously thinking about it in year 12, and... Mm. I mean, that's basically, you know, you need to apply in year 13, right? So a year is a pretty good amount of time to get your act together in terms of like applications. You shouldn't be tailoring your whole life towards applying to one course, because that's only going to set you up for disappointment if you don't get it. But also, you should have the course reflect your life, not your life reflect the course you want to go for, I think. Because the only reason you should apply for something is because you're passionate about it. It's the thing that you love doing. And so you should be doing extracurricular courses and such that match that anyway, if you see what I mean. Like, you're not gaming your life to for the course. It should be the other way around, really. Mm. But I'd say year 12. And if you'd like more information about sort of applying, I mean, it's Oxbridge specifically, but I have a whole series on my YouTube channel that's all about this kind of thing.
I suppose the other thing to think about too is obviously prior to year 12, you've got to think about subject choice not impacting on what the prerequisites are to do for your course. I was quite fortunate in that sense that in doing the IB, you do a really wide breadth of subjects. So it's basically a ticket to do pretty much any course, unless it's something specific like medicine, in which case, obviously, like higher level chemistry or something. But, you know, I suppose that's one thing to consider. You know, if you want to go into something sciencey, then maybe do sciences.
Well, did they say math?
Mm. Oh, yeah. Well, even then, you know, think about, like, play to your strengths, but most importantly, just everything that you do and everything you experience, regardless of whether it's at school or not, makes you a unique person. And that will ultimately work in your favor when applying to somewhere. And as far as the song that I delete, I genuinely don't know. Anything by John Rutter is a bold claim. Oh, no, it was Garlic Dressing, which is Gaelic Blessing for the non-informed.
Oh, did we talk about that? We'll have to talk about that next time, about the funeral that we sang for.
Yes, the Remembrance Service.
Remembrance Service, beg your pardon. It was somebody that you might actually know.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Well, we'll talk about that one next week. A song, I don't know, probably anything that is... I'll tell you what it would be. It was the really awful house music that was playing after we went and watched Game of Thrones live in Hole in the Wall. For some reason, I have no idea why. I think they just basically wanted to get the punters out. The episode finished and they turned on this just absolute drivel and it made me quite cross. So yeah, I delete that. I don't know what song it is, but it was crap. And finally, from Alice Miller, subtitled To the Real Top Lads, to Simon and Dan.
I don't know why I just gave you finger guns on our video chat. I don't know why I bothered. It's a podcast. Sorry. I just know, Alice, that I gave you finger guns.
Did you ask permission first?
Hey, that's a callback.
There we go. To Simon and Dan, I absolutely love your podcast. Your friendship seems so genuine, which makes for a great listen. This is the first podcast series that I've listened to and thoroughly enjoyed. Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm very good at zoning out in the middle of conversations, but your conversations are so interesting that I didn't zone out once in 3 hours of almost non-stop listening. Wow. You're the real hero here, Alice.
We zone out all the time while we're talking.
It should definitely come with some kind of laughter warning, though, because my family must have thought that I'm a right weirdo when I started crying with laughter at the banter and fanfiction in the car. Not my finest moment. Ugh, embrace it. Embrace it. I really enjoy science and maths, and I'm loving Crash Course. I'm planning to rewatch all of the episodes as part of my pre-results day playlist next Wednesday, and now that I've seen glaciers in France with my own eyes and seen the effect of global warming on them. Watching Simon's videos has introduced me to areas of physics and science that I wasn't really aware of, and they're actually pretty cool, so thanks. By the way, I'm definitely on Team Simon for the cats versus dogs debate. Sorry,
thank
Dan,
you.
So I've attached a picture of my cat Snuggles wearing some cone of shame for your own personal amusement.
Oh, Snuggles! Oh, that's a cute cat.
That is it's a cat. I can confirm it's a cat. I play the viola, cue the viola jokes, and play in a local youth music groups. So I really enjoy listening to you guys talking about classical music and choral music.
Do you know what the difference between a trampoline and a viola player is?
No, but I'm sure you're going to tell me.
You take your shoes off when you jump on a trampoline. It's a long-running... I don't actually know quite why, but there's a long-running thing of musicians hating viola players. I don't get it, really, because the viola is a perfectly fine instrument. But, you know.
It's perfectly fine. Don't want to give him too high praise.
Well, you know, like, I've got nothing against him. I equally don't have anything for it.
This is true. We do have a question. A question for you guys is this. If you could play any orchestral instrument, what would you play and why, and what piece? If I could play any orchestral instrument, it would be... Either the cello or the violin, I think.
I would love to be able to play the cello. I
mean, or
I
the viola, of course. It would be the viola, of course.
I mean, I play the saxophone, which you get in wind bands, but not orchestras.
Mm. I play the guitar, which you don't get in either. So
there you
hooray.
Go. Da-da-da-da-da.
thanks again for making such amazing videos and podcasts. You guys are top lads. From Alice. Thank you, Alice.
Thank you very much, Alice.
Right, now the time has come, Simon.
For come.
For come. we're going to retreat into... We're going to ensconce ourselves in the nook of fan fiction. We need a something alliterative. Fan fiction. Just going to take some time to think about a word that can...
Talk amongst yourselves. I'm editing this podcast, but I'm going to keep the silence in.
I really don't think you do, because I want to make it a good one, so we're going to be here for a while.
All right.
something that's like core, not corner, not nook, not
cranny,
not cranny, but I want it to begin with an F. Write to us on a postcard.
Fan fiction fun zone.
Fun zone. Fuck it. Why not?
That's fine. Welcome to the fan fiction fun zone.
We're going to ensconce ourselves in
triple
fan fiction
F
fun zone.
Action.
This week we have our regular writer Hannah. She sent us with chapter 3. So cast your minds back to where we left off. This, I believe, was the time traveling.
The time traveler with the extraordinarily large forehead.
Yes. So, right. Settle back. Hey, Simon and Dan. I hope you'll enjoy the third chapter of my story. Please excuse the missing logic in this story, but if Simon had just called an ambulance, it would have been very boring.
Mm.
This is true. So, we resume. Chapter 3. On their way back... Okay. That's a good start.
Great start.
Yeah, just making up words that aren't there. Brilliant. On their way to his flat, Simon found out that the weird man's name was Daniel Moore, and he didn't seem to remember anything that happened before the accident. Which wasn't entirely true. Even though Daniel didn't say anything, he became even more confused when they walked past a street which was almost empty, except for a few very bright lights he's never seen anywhere before, and some vehicles that were similar to the phaetons which some rich families in his neighbourhood possessed.
Phaetons?
Everything looked very... Phaetons.
Okay, right.
Which I... Oh, a vintage touring car. A light, open, four-wheeled horse-drawn carriage. Which is actually how I get to and from university, so very well observed, which some rich families in his neighbourhood possessed. Everything looked very futuristic as the two men were walking along the dark streets outside of Exeter. He tried to reconstruct his memories. The last thing he could remember was a strange woman in a purple robe, the bright light which seemed to become brighter and brighter, and then, no matter how hard he tried, he just couldn't recall what happened next. The only thing he knew for sure, right now, was that this... weirdly dressed man saved him from a horrible fate. Sorry, I lost the line.
This email has stopped.
The only thing he knew for sure right now was this weirdly dressed man had saved him from a horrible fate. His back started to feel better when they reached the flat, and he thought he could drink something. He wasn't sure that he didn't have any serious injuries. Simon left the room to get something to treat the grazes on Daniel's arms and legs, so he walked around a bit, still trying to figure out which extraordinary situation he'd landed in.
Do you reckon I'm going to be wearing the sexy nurse's outfit that we talked to Dodie about?
Oh, God. Okay, hang on, right. I'm going to call a timeout
on this fanfiction.
It was not a sexy nurse's costume. I genuinely thought that she was ill, and I thought, you know...
Where's my patient?
It wasn't even a nurse's outfit. I'm fairly sure I just walked in holding a stethoscope. Oh, no, a thermometer. I didn't say it was a rectal thermometer. I mean, it was completely innocent.
Dodie, anyway, if you're listening to this, he definitely meant it to be a sexy nurse's outfit.
For goodness sake.
If you'd like to send us fan art of Dan dressed in a sexy nurse's outfit with Dodie, please send us. Please, for my sake, send us some.
Please think about what you're doing and then reconsider.
SpongyElectric@gmail.com. Thank you.
God's sake. Simon left the room to get something to treat the grazes on Daniel's arms and legs, so he walked around a bit, still trying to figure out which extraordinary situation he'd landed in. When Daniel took a look at a newspaper which was lying on a small wooden table, he saw that the date was October 15th, which didn't surprise him, until he noticed the year was 2016. Again, he tried really hard to recall his memories, but the gaps were just too big for him to figure out what had happened. Simon came back with something called a sanitizer in one hand and a few plasters in the other. Daniel didn't know for sure what that to do with the clear liquid was in the small plastic bottle, but it smelled... I just said plastic.
You definitely just said plastic.
Okay, let's claim it as my own. In the small plastic bottle, but it smelled like alcohol, so he guessed that this was made to avoid infections.
Oh, just, it was designed to steady his nerves. just chug down the alcohol.
Just neck a bottle of Dettol. When the man who was the reason that was still alive started to care for his wounds, he got a closer look at him for the first time. His eyes were a rather dark kind of brown, mixed with a little of green. His face was very friendly, even though his jawline made him seem masculine.
Yeah!
Especially because of the small beard, which built a nice contrast to the smile, which he hadn't left his face for more than a few seconds for the past 30 minutes. His brown hair fit his eyes, and only now Daniel noticed that he was quite handsome. Very handsome, in fact.
Thank you. So handsome
that he wanted to... So this should be okay for now, Simon said, pointing at the plasters and
covering Daniel's wounds. I don't like where this is going. Oh,
you can stay overnight if you want to. There's an empty bedroom upstairs. I'll get you a mattress. Wait a second. He left the room, and when Daniel realised what he'd been thinking about, he felt ashamed, almost guilty. He knew that he shouldn't have this kind of thoughts about men, but from time to time, one of them just slipped into his mind and there was absolutely nothing he could do about it. He'd already gotten into trouble so many times because of this little problem. He really didn't want to risk anything right now because he was just glad that he was alive, so he tried to banish these thoughts from his mind. Simon came downstairs again, carrying a pile of towels and folded clothes so Daniel could get himself out of the dirty clothes that he didn't see, that didn't seem very comfortable.
I'm being a very good housewife here, I've just got to say.
You're basically taking on the role that I normally take on. This is quite nice, it's a role reversal here.
And you're thinking about dicks, so yeah, it's just like a role reversal.
Still wondering why he just trusted the weird stranger, he gave him a shirt and the sweatpants. What do you call them in British?
Joggers, I guess? Track pants?
Tracksuit bottoms, I was always
told. Yeah. We haven't got a specific word for it, I don't think.
No. And told Daniel where the bathroom was so he could go and take a shower. When Daniel entered the bathroom, he was incredibly impressed, but also quite confused. Everything was so clean, and there was hot running water in the bathtub.
This really is a role reversal. The bathroom's
clean. Clothes off and sank into the Ooh, hang on. No. Okay, this warrants a bit of ASMR.
Oh, God, get nice and close to that microphone, boy.
He filled it, took his clothes off, and sank into the comfortably warm water.
Ooh.
Slowly, the thoughts about this kind, handsome man came back, and this time, he didn't fight them.
Oh.
Sincerely, Hannah.
No!
Well,
No, you wanked about me in the tub. Oh.
I mean, I don't think... I bet, yeah, I probably did.
You probably did.
Yeah.
You choked your chicken thinking about the handsome man who saved your life.
Choked the I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, choked the chicken. Bash the bishop, Zipper Olympics, yogurt slinging. There's so many ways you can talk about it.
God's sake. And on that bombshell, Simon, what have we learnt today?
Good grief. We were talking about a cat.
The snowshoe cat.
The snowshoe cat, that's quite right. And it's not a species, it's a breed. And it's got Siamese in it. Which led us on to talk about how racist Disney films used to be. Our favourite Disney films. We had some technical problems. I had my alone time with the audience, which you have yet to hear. You're just going to have to listen to that when it comes out.
Such fun.
Your Harry Potter. We're going to go to the Harry Potter bar. And our favourite memories in this house. God, we talked about a lot this time.
Yeah, we did. We covered a great deal. And we had the third instalment from our fabulous writer, Hannah.
Hannah, oh goodness me. Please, please don't make him wank in the bath thinking about me. That's really strange.
That is a bit. I mean, to be fair, it ended quite tamely. I think I just gave in to thinking about it. I don't know whether I acted upon it.
Oh, I thought physically. You meant in terms of the story. I just gave in to thinking about wanking about you. That's all for this week's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to us on your podcasting service of choice. Leave a review of us on iTunes. You can like us on Facebook. And if you'd like to see our faces, check out our YouTube channel, Spongy and Electric.
Voting on the cat debate, comical food-eating stories, and other thoughts on the show can be sent to us at spongyelectric@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Join us again for another tumble down the wiki rabbit hole. And we'll see you next time.